I want to speak today on the theme, He came to His own. And the text is taken from John chapter 1, verse 10 to 14. This is a very familiar passage, and you may be aware of it, but let's read the text again. John chapter 1, verse 10 to 14. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John the disciple tells us that when Jesus was born in 4 BC in the city of Bethlehem, it was not simply a birthday event of a historic personality, but it was a homecoming event of the Creator God, who came to claim that belonged to Him. Jesus had the ownership over the people to whom He came. He was not coming to strangers. He was coming to His own. He owned the world as the one who created. He came as the Creator, not like some gurus of a Jewish sect, not a religious leader of so-called religion Christianity, not a political liberator of a community living in the land of Palestine, but as the Creator of the entire humanity. And so John the disciple, as he's writing to the readers who come from Greek civilizations, Roman civilization, not only Jews, who were somehow confused to understand Jesus Christ as a Jewish leader, as a leader of a sect, he was trying to clarify their doubts, helping them to understand that He came to His own. In other words, Jesus was very much your own. He came to the Jews and to the Romans. He came to the rich and to the poor. He came to the adults and the children. He came to the men as well to the women. He came to the Easterners as well to the Westerners. And it is very important, because for many of us, we think Christianity is a Western religion. But He came to the Easterners as well as to the Westerner, because He owned all the cosmos. You know, very particularly, John uses the Greek word cosmos. The entire cosmos belonged to Him. He came to His own creation. That's what John writes to the Romans and to the Greek world. On the one hand, Jews failed to recognize Him as their Messiah. On the other hand, non-Jewish world saw Him as the guru of the Jewish sect. So John argues in John chapter 1, verse 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You know, he uses the word logos. Logos, actually the word we have today in English is logic. In other words, rational thinking. It is a state of mind. God had mind in the beginning. In the beginning was the mind of God, and the mind was with God, and the mind is God. Like my mind is my mind. You know, if you say, where is A.K. Lama? You know, A.K. Lama is also here, A.K. Lama is also here, A.K. Lama is also here. You know, there is a very good question in philosophy. We always used to, if you want to make fool of somebody, you have to say, where is A.K. Lama? And then, you know, that fellow who was smarter than me, he really made me feel stupid, because I was telling you, A.K. Lama is here. He said, that's your chest. He said, A.K. Lama is here, that's your head. I say, A.K. Lama is here. He said, that's your nose. He said, no, where is your A.K. Lama? I couldn't actually explain to him. And that's very obvious, because it's the whole being as the mind of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The logic, the logia, the mind, the rational thinking of God. In the mind of God, God is a God of order. God who created the entire universe. In the very beginning, God had a mind. He put these things in order. But the sin entered into the world because of our disobedience, and we brought chaos in. You know, chaos is always understood very clearly by the Greek thinkers. That is something which is evil. We brought the evil in, but the God was there, the God of mind, God of order was there in the beginning. And He was with God in the beginning. And through Him, He is the one who is the creator. That's what He is arguing in verse 3. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. Life that is an expression of an order was the light of man. The light was in God. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it because we brought the darkness in. The chaos cannot understand the order. But the question is, why did He come to His own? You know, I'm reminded of an incident that happened long time ago in my family. We bought some chickens to rear when we were working in a small town called Namsa in Arunachal Pradesh, you know. But it so happened that one of the chicken got freed herself from the cage and entered into a huge pile of woods, and she hid herself somewhere in the corner. We could see the chicken very clearly, but there is no way our hand can reach. Now there was only two options left. We should leave the chicken there, or otherwise remove all the piles of the wood, at least in the front section, and somehow make our hand reach so that we can catch the chicken. You know, I was working as a veterinary doctor, so I had a moral obligation to show my love to the chicken. So all my veterinary staff, who were my neighbors and my helpers, we all finally decided, whatever time it takes, we will get the chicken out, because the other option is not good. The wild cat will come or the snake will come, they will eat away. So we will not let this chicken be eaten away by somebody else. So we decided to remove the woods one by one, and it took more than 1 hour, but we finally got the chicken. And we were happy. But for what? Only to place it next day on the dining table as a chicken curry. Just imagine, you know, I did not create that chicken. And I did not love that chicken so much, except for the chicken curry. But I still worked hard 1.5 hour to remove and get the chicken and rescue the chicken from getting eaten away by the wild cat. And so how much more, think about it, God who created us, you and me, in His own image. Image that is much more precious than the chicken. When He saw us suffering and suppressed under the law of sin and death, under chaos, He would not leave us alone. He had all the reasons to come to His own. That's why He came to His own. The Word, the Logos, become flesh, so that He may be able to reach His own. You know, I always explain a very simple example I give to explain to students when I speak to them. You know, if you see a group of ants, you know how the ants, they walk in line? If you see a group of ants heading towards drain, you know, if you tell the ants, although you are very smart, wise, if you tell the ants, ants, don't go that side, that's a drain, go this way. The ants won't understand. But there is a one way. If you have a magical wand, if you have a fairy's wand, and you move yourself around you and you become an ant, and you go in the front, you become the ant leader, perhaps you will be able to lead the ant out. That's why He came to His own. He took upon Himself humanity to speak our language, to become our twin brother. You know, Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, in the likeness of man, He came down so that He can speak our language. He can communicate and take us out from the chaos to the order, because in order we were created. He came to His own. However, the irony in the story of Christmas is that His own did not receive Him. See, that's how the John is trying to turn the whole sentence. He says, yet his own did not receive him. Why did they not receive him? I was studying, some of us, I studied my veterinary science in Patna. And one of my friend from Bihar, he told me a true story. You know, there was one village vegetable seller. He would grow vegetables and sell vegetables in the market. And that's how he worked hard. And one of his child, he put all his investment and sent him to the higher school and get him some coaching and all the investment that he could do and get him a very good degree. And finally, this young son of this vegetable wala, sabji wala, we call it, sabji wala ka beta, he sat down in, you know, competitions, IAS competition, and he become collector. You know, they call it collector in Bihar. And so he became a big shot. And now he was enjoying as a collector, and he was enjoying all the facility. For a long time, he forgot his mom and dad. So one day his mom told her husband, you know, go and check on your son sometime, what is happening. You know, beta ka sadi ka time bhi ho gaya, usko thoda jaake dekho. So this vegetable wala thought, you know, why not, if I am going town, then I should take some vegetable also, sell there, you know, then make some money, and then I will buy some gift and give to my son. So he took a tokri of vegetable sabji, and he started selling, and while selling, he was asking also, where is the collector's house? So finally he reached his son's house also. So on the collector gate, you know, there was one sipahi was sitting. Hey, kya baat hai? Kya kar raha hai? Sabji yahan nahi bikri karna. Chalo, chalo. To bolta nahi, hum beta se milne aaye. I'm come to meet his son. Hup! Beta se milne aaye. How came the collector's, you know, his son? So nahi, hum apna beta se milne aaye. He was insisting. So finally, you know, the sipahi went inside, and inside there was a big officers meeting was going on. All other subordinate officers, district officers, they were all meeting. So in the mid, he says, sahab, koi sabji wala hai, bolta hai, aapka pitaji hai, bolta hai. So he knew that it is his father. But, gaon se koi aaya hoga sabji wala. Bolo usko, piche se servant ko quarter mein baitha do, usko baitne ke liye bolo. See, he came to his own. His own did not receive him. It is very embarrassing for this collector. It's a true story, but very touchy. But of course, the story ends in a different way. But that's not the point. Why did they not receive him? Bible tells that there is one reason, but many manifestation. The one reason is sin. And sin has entered the world, and our humanity is infected with sinful nature. The sinful nature is manifested in many ways. One of the ways is ignorance. We did not receive him because we are not informed that he is the creator. We only know him as a Jewish leader, carpenter's son, someone who was just playing on the street naked as a child. He was just a son of a Joseph. So perhaps people were ignorant. We did not receive him because we do not know him. We need more informations. However, that is not the point John the disciple is making in this text. John is talking about the people who had information and yet they rejected Jesus. And so we read in the Bible that Jesus was rejected for the fear of various kinds. Fear of various kinds. King Herod, we read about him, he rejected Jesus for fear of losing his political freedom. He did not want another king, especially Jewish king. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, very clearly we see his state of mind. He says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. You know, there is a threat. We don't want another king in the same kingdom. I want to have the monopoly. Then the second is we see the chief priest and the religious teachers. We read in the Bible, they rejected Jesus for fear of losing their authority on the people. They wanted to have the monopoly, their religious loyalty to themselves, not to Jesus. So also Judas Iscariot rejected Jesus Christ for the fear of financial insecurity. You know, he used to steal money while he was collecting the fund. was towards the end when Jesus was also started telling that, you know, he's going to be crucified, he's going to die. Now this fellow knew that the purse is going to be no more existing, where from he will steal the money. So 30 silver coin is still better deal. You know, at least he can buy a house, he can settle down somewhere. There is some financial security. Judas Iscariot rejected Jesus Christ for the fear of such financial insecurity. Common people, for the fear of losing popular support of the majority. You know, I have my own reasons to reject Jesus Christ. I didn't want it to be persecuted by one my family member, my own community, not to be treated like a second-class citizen. But also I thought, you know, if I have to follow Jesus Christ, perhaps I will cut down my many other source of income. You know, there are multiple ways of income here. But I will limit myself and I will end up in perhaps poverty. Rejecting Jesus is often, remember, not an intellectual problem for those who are well informed, but it is often a moral problem. Because accepting Jesus is not simply an intellectual assent, not simply making an intellectual assent that he is the creator or he is the Messiah, but also a moral submission. The moment you recognize him as the creator, means you recognize that you are just simply a creature. A creature which is made by creator. So you belong to him. You have to submit to the owner. The ownership is sometimes very difficult. Accepting Jesus requires believing in his life and teaching. Accepting Jesus requires a moral assent to the lifestyle Jesus lived. And particularly those two verses, which really put me in hold for 5 years. I found very difficult to accept Jesus Christ for 5 years. These two verses, and I wish Jesus had never said this verse. Luke chapter 9, 23, 24. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's not only on Sunday. It's not on the day of, I was going only one day on the temple. It's Buddha Purnima. Not one day of that festival day or any religion that we belong. Not one day that we acknowledge the Creator God. But daily, reminding ourselves that we are owned by somebody. We have a master. We are created by somebody to whom we belong. And denying ourselves, take up the cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. That he created us for a purpose, not to preserve ourselves, but to give ourselves for the purposes of God, for his purposes to be fulfilled, even at the expense of our life. And the second verse is Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, that was not a problem for me. Because I was not so much deeply in love with my father anyway. But the second one was very difficult. Mother. And then of course wife and children, I didn't think until then because I was not married so much. You know, young people, you won't think that. This verse will not touch you so much. And brothers and sisters, honestly speaking, I had three brothers. I really hated them. I didn't like, I wish, because every time my mother will cut egg, you know, it will be divided into 5 pieces. So I wish always that I was the only son in my family. So I was not so much concerned about those. But the next one was like a bomb. Even his own life? Why, Jesus, you had to put that phrase? Could you not have managed without that? He cannot be my disciple, he says. Even his own life. So accepting Jesus required a life of submission to the Lordship of Christ, where every choice is made to please him rather than self, because he is the creator. He created for a purpose. He knows the purpose. And we have to yield to his purpose. Human beings, by its nature, do not like submission and ownership. We don't like ownership. The story is told of a street dog and a pet dog, you know. The street dog and pet dog, they will always have a chit-chat. You know, the street dog will come to visit his friend and the pet dog will be inside the gate in a chain. So the street dog will say, এই সাথী, আও তোমার লাগা জীবন তো একদম বিয়া আছে দে, ইয়োর লাইফ ইজ ফিনিশড। সাবি, ইয়েস্টারডে ইউ নো আই ওয়েন্ট, দেয়ার ওয়াজ এ ওয়েডিং অ্যান্ড দেয়ার ওয়াজ পোর্ক ওয়াজ কুকড অ্যান্ড আই হ্যাড সো মেনি লেফট ওভার পোর্ক, অ্যান্ড দি আদার ডে ইউ নো আই ওয়েন্ট, দেয়ার ওয়াজ সাম বার্থডে অ্যান্ড দে কুক চিকেন। সাথী, আমি লাগা তো খুব চিকেন খাইছে, তোমার জীবন তো কি করিব, সদায় তো ডগ ফুড, ডগ ফুড, ডগ ফুড ইন দ্য মর্নিং, ডগ ফুড ইন দ্য নুন টাইম, ডগ ফুড ইন দ্য সান গোজ ডাউন, আর ফুরিবলৈ বি চান্স নাই, এফালে টানিছে তোমার মালিক তো সেফালে টানি থাকে, তোমার জীবন তো চাবি, আমি তো চাবি ফুর্তি, আই গো টু ফুটবল গ্রাউন্ডস ওয়াচ ফুটবল গেম, আই গো টু ইউ নো সাম রক স্টার সিঙ্গিং আই ওয়াচ দেয়ার, আই গো হিয়ার অ্যান্ড দেয়ার, আই এম ফ্রি, বাট ইউ আর এনস্লেভড, হোয়াট এ লাইফ, মিজারেবল লাইফ। And this fellow, he's inside the gate, he was thinking, yes, really, his life is so much enjoyable, but mur jibantu, barbat. My life is enslaved. Until one day, this dog, a strict dog, he was running here and there, and he came knocking the gate, he was shaking the gate, Sati, Sati, khuli bhi, please open the gate, what happened, he asked. You know, the veterinary doctors have declared that everybody is rabid dog, and so the police are looking for rabid dog, and I don't have a chain. But he could not open the gate, and finally there was shoot and he died. Until the day we realize that we belong. The freedom is good, but freedom without master, without ownership, without subjecting ourselves to the creator, is a dangerous freedom. You know the guitar string, if it breaks, it is all free, you can swing around anywhere, but it is good for nothing. But if you tie it and bring some tension, it brings melody. That's what he came to his own, to tune us, because we belong to him. We belong to him. He is our master. He is our Lord. And we need to submit ourselves to certain principles, certain rules, to that certain order, the logos in which he created us. We need to come out of the chaos and tune to the order. That's why he came. This is what Jesus was trying to teach the religious teachers who rejected Jesus. There's a very beautiful story in Luke chapter 20, verse 9 to 14. See how these people wanted to have freedom, and wanted to freedom so much so that they wanted to become master themselves. Luke chapter 20, verse 9 to 14. He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants, so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said, "let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." What a freedom will be. We will become masters. We will become our own creator. That's what the sin does to us. And so Jesus was rejected for the fear of various kinds. Now, I don't know what is your fear. We all may have a various kinds of fear. However, the good news is that there were others who overcame their fear and they received Jesus gladly. Not everybody in the Bible were afraid of receiving Jesus Christ. There were others who overcome. In verse 12, he says, in John chapter 1, verse 12, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." Some of those who were able to overcome the fear, who were willing to submit their wills and desires, who recognized the Creator, they were given the right They were given the right to become children of God. And they were born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I wish he had time to really exegete every word of this, so powerful. But I want to focus on who were the one who received him. The Magi from the East. In Matthew chapter 2 verse 11, the wise men. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They were men from the East. In the Bible, whenever you read men from the East, the word East symbolizes the area of wisdom, the region of wisdom, where from the wise people comes. These were not so well informed of the Old Testament scripture. They didn't have the opportunity of listening to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. We don't know. Perhaps, you know, as an Old Testament scholar, I maybe take pride if I can find one day that if they were from India. No wonder they may be from India, because India was a country of many religions much before the birth of Christ. Like Buddhism was 700 years before Christ, and many other religions came. Probably they were wise men, God-fearing Gentiles who had some understanding of the coming of the Creator one day. And so I see all the ancient religions is culminated in the coming of the Creator God, Jesus Christ. And so these wise men, not necessarily three, we don't know three, perhaps there were more than three, they all are basically a symbolic representation of us who come from the East, who have such understanding that in the coming of the Creator God is the culmination of all our religious piety. Unless we meet Him face to face, and we will say, we have seen God, we have touched Him, we have felt Him. That's what John is saying. Incoming of Jesus. Then the second, Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. Joseph and Mary brought the child Jesus to temple. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Luke chapter 2, verse 20 to 32. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Then the last prophet, John the Baptist. John chapter 1 verse 29-30. Next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me." Look at that phrase. "Because he was before me." He recognized Jesus as the Creator God. And then the intellectual Nehemiah. Now there was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. In John chapter 3:2, he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." Then the fisherman in Matthew chapter 16:16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The wisdom flew from the fisherman. The rejecter of the society tax collectors and the prostitute. And you know all the stories of the Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, 2 to 4. I love this man because of the way that he was, you know, acknowledging Jesus Christ. You know, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, notice that word, being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. He overcame his fear of public humiliation, shame, because he recognized Jesus. He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree. Then some Roman soldiers, when Jesus died on the cross, Matthew the tax collector tells us that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, the earth shook and the rock split. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." What a statement from someone who is not necessarily come from a religious family background. The condemned thief. I like that. Dr. Luke informs us, Luke chapter 23, 39 to 42, that besides Jesus, there were two criminals who were nailed on the cross. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We were punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing." Nothing wrong. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And you know the rest of the story. Then the businessman, Joseph of Arimathea, John chapter 19, verse 38-39. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. But see what happened when Jesus died. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He overcame his fear when he was crucified. He came along with Nicodemus. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. There were men and women in the Bible who overcame fear. They recognized Jesus Christ. When he came to his own, there were few of his own received him. Irrespective of what the community will say, in spite of what their reputation will be in the society, in spite of what their life's circumstances and situation may be, they were not afraid of persecution. They received Jesus Christ. And they were given the right to become children of God. They were born of God. And that door is still open. That door is still open. All of us have the privilege to become children of God. My only prayer is that this Christmas will be not merely another festivity, another opportunity to celebrate a good time, but more than that, that it will be a turning point in our life. For those of us who already have accepted Jesus Christ, that we may believe in him boldly and with courage, not remain hidden somewhere, not be ashamed of acknowledging Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, not afraid of testifying that you are a Christian, that you believe in a Creator God, that you will be bold and courageous children of God. For those of us who have not accepted Jesus Christ, I only pray that you will accept him and turn your freedom, which is chaotic freedom, into an orderly submission to and meaningful and productive submission to the Creator God. That you will become a child of God, someone who is born of God. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, 4 to 9? And I read that in closing. He says, "I tell you, my friends," it's a beautiful verse, he's telling us friends, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more." This is very precious words, because as so much of, situation has become worse in our country, you never know when you will be perhaps beaten up. Things are not very far from us. And it's so good to remind ourselves. He says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid." That word exists more than 365 times. One for every day for a child of God in the Bible. "Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angel of God. But he who disowns me before man will be disowned before the angels of God. Yes, he came to his own. He may be Sabjiwala, but he is still our daddy, our father, who loved us, who invested himself in us, who cared for us. Will you be able to say boldly, even at the expense of a humiliation, even when you are surrounded by your friends who may laugh at you, ridicule you as a religious fanatics, will you say, yes, he may be Sabjiwala, but he is my daddy who made me collector. Without him, I would have been nothing. I would have been playing in that village somewhere like a naked, without nothing. I would have been selling vegetables like him perhaps. But he made me somebody. Will you say, yes, he is my Lord. He is my master. Will you make choices to please him? Let's bow our head for a moment. Make that resolution. May that be your Christmas commitment, a Christmas gift to your Creator, God. Will you say, Lord, yes, I will not be ashamed of you. I will not be ashamed of the gospel that has brought salvation. And if there is any fear and a shame that is prohibiting me, oh God, give me that courage and boldness to overcome that shame and fear, that I will acknowledge publicly that you are the Creator God. You came for entire humanity. And you love all sinners. You love me. And I belong to you. You are my master. And I am your servant. And I am so delighted to be your servant. Lord, here am I. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.